When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast. It's LiesOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining us now, John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. John, before we get started today, I thought I'd play a little montage of John McCain.
Whether we think each other right or wrong in our views on the issues of the day, we owe each other our respect, as so long as our character merits respect, and as long as we share for all of our differences, for all the rancorous debates that enliven and sometimes demean our politics, a mutual devotion to the ideals our nation was conceived to uphold, that all are created equal, and liberty and equal justice are the natural rights of all.
My country saved me, and I cannot forget it. And I will fight for her as long as I draw breath, so help me God.
There's no doubt that all of us were weak from time to time. I was. Unfortunately, not all of us can emulate John Wayne. But I think the overwhelming majority of us did the best we could.
The American people don't hold Washington and the people who work there in very high esteem. We need to make sure that we give the American people what they deserve, and right now, they're not getting it.
Let's trust each other. Let's return to regular order. We've been spinning our wheels on too many important issues because we keep trying to find a way to win without help from across the aisle. I've had the good fortune to spend 60 years in service to this wondrous land, and I've been repaid 1,000 times over with adventures, with good company, and with the satisfaction of serving something more important than myself, of being a bit player in the extraordinary story of America. And I am so grateful.
I love life, and I want to stay around forever. But I also believe that there's a great honor that you can die with. I want to smell the rose-scented breeze and feel the sun on my shoulders. I want to watch the hawks hunt from the sycamore and then take my leave, bound for a place near my old friend Chuck Larson in the cemetery on the Severn, back where it began.
All right, your thoughts, John Nichols, and John McCain.
Well, I mean, he says it better than most of us, doesn't he? But the thing about John McCain was that he, through really rough experience, and certainly the roughest being his prisoner of war experience, and also being shot down in a time of war, but also a kind of a rough adjustment to the political life, you know, the Keating Five and things like that. You know, he had a lot of experiences that weren't always easy and that weren't always good. But he took from it lessons. You know, he's kind of like always learning, always improving. And the core lesson that he took from it all was that you could disagree with someone passionately. You could be on the opposite side of most issues with someone and still respect them and still find some place, maybe some narrow avenue where you could work together. And ultimately, that made John McCain one of the unique figures in contemporary American politics, really in the long arc of American politics, because he tried to keep the whole thing working. And there's a bitter irony that, you know, the end of his career, the end of his life, he was serving at the same time that Donald Trump was president, because, of course, Trump seems to be the opposite of that, to pull in an opposite direction. But I think that McCain's passing at this point demands that the whole country pause for a moment and think a little bit about how this very honorable man sought at his best, with all the, you know, all the flaws and weaknesses that he acknowledged, sought at his best to call us to a different and higher politics. I think, you know, I see his passing as a very big deal, and one where his final contribution may well be to make us all pause and think about how we might do it a little better.
There are some amazing people in America that have tried to become president that never achieved that goal. And yet I would say history would judge them probably much better than many people that were ultimately elected to the office.
Unquestionably.
So
yeah, yeah.
Who else would you put, you know, who else would you put in McCain's category? People that have tried
sure.
but didn't make it.
Well, first and foremost, George McGovern. I mean, without a question, George McGovern, a war hero from World War II, an incredibly determined champion of civil rights and social justice, a guy who literally had served his country in the most noble of ways and yet recognized the folly of the Vietnam War and many of the military interventions that followed. I mean, there's no question. McGovern was, Stephen Ambrose and others, illustrated an epically impressive figure who should have been more seriously considered. And then I'll give you another one. Wendell Willkie. Wendell Willkie, who was Franklin Roosevelt's opponent in 1940, Willkie was a businessman who disagreed with Roosevelt on some of the New Deal initiatives, especially some of the regulatory initiatives. He came up largely because he had a charming personality, was a, you know, a hail fellow well met. But the interesting thing was that running against Roosevelt in that 1940 campaign, he refused to run an isolationist campaign against FDR. He recognized the threat that was coming, that would develop into World War II and the U.S. involvement in it. And here's the big deal of that. Wilkie, as a candidate and in the aftermath of his candidacy, pulled the country together. He did really, in many ways, as much as FDR did to, you know, erase the divides, to try and get everybody on the same page as we entered into World War II. And the fact of the matter is Wilkie died very young. Had he lived, I think there's a very good chance that he might have been considered again at some later point in his life for the presidency because he contributed so greatly to the country.
John McCain wasn't a big detail guy as far as legislation, but the more I read about him and learn about him, and I guess I should have understood this all along, he really was an intellectual.
Oh, he was a very, very smart man. And do you know what? Here's the proof of how smart he was. It was actually, you know, people always said, oh, yeah, you know, he'd grab a microphone any place, talk about anything. Well, did you notice that he was able to grab a microphone
right.
place and talk?
Right. No, that's very true.
Understood the issues of his time. He understood the great challenges and pushes and pulls. He was a student of U.S. foreign policy. And by the way, I disagreed with him on awfully lot of foreign policy issues, but he could speak, you know, with great depth about it. The other thing about him that was really important is that he had standards for the people he worked with and for the people he formed alliances with, and that's a big deal. John McCain, you know, we hear this line, you know, you took the measure of the man, you took the measure of the woman, you know, you tried to figure out whether that was somebody you could respect. John McCain did that, but he didn't just do it on whether you shook hands in the right way or smiled in the right way. He was a very, very serious student of American politics, and he determined who he would work with and who he trusted on a host of issues by, you know, getting to know someone, getting to know where they're at. And that was why, and we have to bluntly put this out there, why his choice of Sarah Palin as his running mate in 2008 was such a disappointing and shocking thing, because in so many other cases, in so many other instances, he had shown a real depth. And I think that, you know, the Palin choice is one that I'm quite sure he himself came to regret.
Well, it's pretty interesting. Whether his timing and death has magnified his life, you have to kind of believe that Donald Trump is partly responsible for this being exponentially bigger than it would have been. I mean, it would have been huge. He was a yeah. national figure. But Donald Trump really has enlarged John McCain.
Without a doubt. Well, let's try and put it a slightly different way, or at least I'll try to. And I'll say, John McCain was large enough, right? He was his significance in the American story, frankly, because he lived out loud. He was so present for so long, from the 70s, 60s, 70s into the deep into the 21st century. But what's happened is that McCain was a big enough personality, a big enough presence in our American story that he was a counterpoint to Trump. He was a counterpoint to Trump from the start of the process. And Trump rolled over a lot of other Republicans, lesser figures like Scott Walker and, folks like that who
I think that's totally unfair, John. Totally unfair.
Okay. Super lesser figures like Scott Walker, who Trump could just bat aside. But when Trump was disrespectful of and diminishing toward John McCain, that was a big deal. And people actually lined up on that one, and very few people lined up with Trump. And the fact that Trump didn't recognize that, didn't recognize how wrong he was, his words were, his actions were, that helped to define Trump and helped us to understand who Trump was and what his capacity for growth would be. The tragedy is, of course, that you're right now in juxtaposition with one another, we see the passing of John McCain at a time when Donald Trump is at his most desperate, at his most dysfunctional. He's clearly in a lot of trouble legally, politically, and a host of other ways. And so he had a chance to set it right, to say, well, I said some things about John McCain, and I tangled with him on some issues, but this was a great man, and we should honor him. Instead, Trump had to be pulled kicking and screaming, not to the high ground, but to the mid ground. And it is further proof that Donald Trump is not capable of being president of the United States of America. And I say not capable because the fact is the presidency requires many things of people. And Trump actually can do some of those things. But one of the things that a president must do is, in a time of loss, in a time when the country is in a reflective moment, to respect and enhance that rather than to try and diminish it.
Well,
I think this week we've seen Trump at his worst.
As Prime Minister Trudeau was tweeting nice things about McCain, the flag was going back up to full staff at the White House. It was quite a moment. I had the TV on in the morning, and I'm watching this all kind of happen in a way that was a bit disconcerting. This is ABC's coverage last night.
Kane died. The president nixed the idea of putting out a statement of praise, instead issuing a short tweet expressing his deepest sympathies to the McCain family. The White House flag was lowered to half staff late Saturday, but raised again just over 24 hours later. Today, I tried to get the president to say something, anything, about McCain.
Mr. President, any thoughts on John McCain? Mr. President, any thoughts on John McCain, sir?
A short while later, I tried again.
Mr. President, do you have any thoughts on John McCain? Do you have any thoughts at all about John McCain? Do you believe John McCain was a hero, sir? Nothing at all about John McCain.
And then the American Legion called on the president to lower the White House flag again. I asked the president about that. Still no answer.
Why won't you say anything about John McCain?
And tonight, a reversal from the president, ordering the flag to be lowered once more, saying, quote, despite our differences on policy and politics, I respect Senator John McCain's service to our country.
All right, so let's get to John Carl live.
Could he have made a bigger fool of himself? Is it possible?
No. No, he could not have done it worse. And, here's the thing. Even the statement that was finally made, the statement that was dragged out of him, despite our differences on policy, I respect John McCain. You know, with all due respect, here's a guy who gave 60 years of service to the country. I couldn't begin to list the number of issues I disagree with John McCain on. I couldn't begin to tell you how many times, you know, I think he took the wrong stand. And yet, I can tell you right now, 10 things on which he stepped up and did something that was greater than politics, greater than his own personal journey, greater than his own personal engagement at any moment, rose above, you know, really took us to a better place. And these are the things that go to the core of American democracy. Couldn't Donald Trump, in, you know, sort of grumbling out, quote unquote, I respect John McCain, couldn't he have said, you know, I respect him because, and then, you know, make your choice. You know, I would talk about his incredible work on campaign finance reform, his incredible work on ethics issues, his incredible work on a host of human rights issues, his incredible work on the issue of torture and you know, the basic constitutional protection against
John,
it and his reassertion of that. We could go on and on.
John, I'm not sure it's a coincidence that you just listed a bunch of issues that Donald Trump has a completely different view.
He could pick some other issue, man.
I don't think it's a coincidence.
There's enough there.
Everyone that you just listed, he's awful on, okay? And I don't believe that's okay. I know what you're up to. That was good, though. I like that. All right, stand by. More with John Nichols next at sliceoffice.com.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers.
Jeff's Guitar Clinic is a multifaceted shop offering guitars, amplifiers, and all accessories, guitar lessons for all ages, and instrument repair of the highest quality. Take the scenic drive to beautiful Fort Atkinson and see what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call Jeff's Guitar Clinic today at 920-723-1733. That's Jeff's Guitar Clinic at 920-723-1733. Jeffsguitar.com.
Here's Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
We're back at sliceoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining us, John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. All right, so interesting, you know, you stay away from Facebook. I don't, and I should, but I can't help myself, John. As people posted nice things about John McCain, there were a lot of people that have very, very strong feelings about war and U.S. intervention that really were quite hostile to the positive posts about John McCain. It's very, very much so. What would you say to those people?
Well, I'll ask you a question. You and I have known each other for the better part of a quarter century, Sly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anybody who's more anti-war than me?
No, I'd say you're right up there.
and I've been pretty ardent on it for a very long time. Look, I disagree with John McCain on those issues. In fact, I just wrote about McCain and Feingold and campaign finance reform, how important I thought that was. And I included in there a reference to my current concern that McCain's stand on Saudi Arabia and Yemen and some of those issues was not certainly not where I wanted him, and one that was very disappointing. You know, I can list dozens of stances that John McCain took on issues of war and peace, military escalation, U.S. intervention, where I think he was just way wrong, and called him out on it, wrote about that. And yet, I frankly don't expect the conservative Republican senator from Arizona to be where I'm at on those issues. I wish I could, but that's not my expectation. What I respect about John McCain, perhaps most, so there's many things I respect about the guy. I've had a chance to know him, interview him many times, be around him in a lot of settings. But what I respect about him is that on issues of democracy, on the question of whether we can have an honest and functional debate about questions of war and peace, he was more than almost any prominent figure in American politics active in defending the space for that discourse. And one thing to remember is, obviously people know that John McCain and Russ Feingold worked closely together on campaign finance reform. They passed the McCain-Feingold bipartisan campaign finance reform act in 2002, if I am not mistaken. That same year, John McCain voted to authorize the Bush administration to go to war in Iraq. Russ Feingold voted against authorizing the administration to go to war in Iraq. Just months before they moved the McCain-Feingold legislation, McCain was a ardent and out-front backer of the Patriot Act. Russ Feingold cast the only vote against it in the Senate. And yet, McCain was not just willing, but enthusiastic about voting or working with Russ Feingold. And so this is where I guess I step in, or at least step up, and say that if McCain could work with very progressive, anti-war, pro-civil liberties Democrats on issues of democracy, then I think it is possible to honor him, respect him, and see the great contribution he made, even if you disagree with where he stood.
But a lot of people can't. A lot of people will not do that anymore. And I think it's probably. I don't know if it. With this, it doesn't seem as tribal as it does. You know, a real heartfelt belief that American foreign policy is corrupt, dishonest, and harmful to the world.
Yeah, and you know, the only counsel I'd give you is that there's an awful lot of Democrats, as well as a lot of Republicans, who bear blame for our corrupt and dysfunctional and failed foreign policies. And I respect the people who call out Democrats and Republicans on these issues, who say, you know, look, a pox on all their houses, they're all wrong. And I do see that as important. I am in that camp. By the same token, I don't think that once we have established that fact, and once we have established where we're at on that, that we can't talk about other things and other aspects of these individuals. You know, look, just in our conversation here, Sly, we've noted that John McCain brought Sarah Palin onto the national stage, and that was not a very great move. We've noted that, in my opinion, he cast the wrong vote on the Patriot Act, and he cast the wrong vote on the Iraq War, and he was wrong on a lot of Middle East.
Huge free trader.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, we can list all these things we disagree with without a question. And yet you can still say that at a critical point in the American experiment, when we might have been able to stop money in politics. And remember, McCain-Feingold, as it was initially written back in the 90s, was an incredible piece of legislation. It went far further than the ultimate bill went. McCain and Feingold actually tried to repair the damage that was already done to our politics, to address the crisis 20 years ago. That was a critical intervention. And for people to lose sight of that just because it's a mess now and because the Supreme Court has intervened in terrible ways and because, frankly, a lot of moneyed people have figured out other ways to mess with the process. To lose sight of the fact that McCain and Feingold tried in a bipartisan manner, a very conservative Republican with a very conservative Democrat, I think is a mistake. I think
Very progressive Democrat.
What?
Yeah, you said
very progressive Democrat. Yeah. Very, I apologize. Yeah. Very conservative Republican. Very progressive Democrat. That they could work together is vital, and I think to deny that, to dismiss that, to lose sight of that, is a big mistake.
Let me ask you about the Senate office building that is by far the most beautiful and oldest of the three. There's the Russell Building, there's the Dirksen Building, and there's the Hart Building. No one seems to have a problem with the name Dirksen or Hart being on a building, but for a long time, the name Richard Russell has been very controversial. He died in 1971. He was in the Senate for a very long time, and he was a segregationist, not just a minor segregationist. He was a huge segregationist who was an ally of Strom Thurmond's at one time. Interesting piece in the paper today about how there's pushback about renaming that building after John McCain. Richard Shelby is not happy.
Well, that's fine. I'm fine with that, Mr. Shelby. I'm sure Jeff Sessions isn't happy either. But, it's an interesting thing, this term segregationist. What would be another word for segregationist?
Racist.
Yeah, scorching racist. Unrelenting, visceral racist. At a time when we had an immense struggle going on in this country, and when some Southerners, not all, but some, stepped up and said, no, we have to move into the future. We have to move into the 21st century. And when members of the Senate were really taking, tough stands and bold positions and beginning to move forward, Russell didn't do that. Russell was one of these old school guys with a lot of seniority and a lot of power and a lot of authority, and he used all of it to maintain segregation and to fight against, just basic human progress. And you may try to find your nuances in some people, and we were just talking about that with McCain, and it's fair to try and look for those better angels, those better elements in someone. But the fact of the matter was, Russell wasn't very good on a host of other issues either. He was the best way to understand the way that Russell served in the Senate is that in many, many ways, he was a bridge senator. He built that bridge by which right-wing Southerners who had been Democrats and who really were a troublesome and troublesomely powerful force within the Democratic Party ultimately left that party, and so many of them moved over to become Republicans. Russell didn't become a Republican, but he might well have if he had lived longer. At the very least, he governed as a very conservative player on a host of issues, not all issues, but on a host of issues. And his premier issue, the one that he will always be best known for, was his support for segregation.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
I can't be too bothered by renaming that building. And let us be clear about one other thing. Everett Dirksen wasn't the greatest guy in the history of the world. You have plenty of gripes about Everett Dirksen, but at a number of critical stages, Everett Dirksen stepped up to pull together the Senate on behalf of the future, to work with Democrats to try and move things in a better direction. And so, again, do we ask for perfection from people? No, we don't. But, when you're looking at the role that people played, the role that they could play at critical times, when we talk about McCain, we say that for all of the things we might disagree with him on, in the 1990s, at a point when American democracy when it was clear American democracy was degenerating toward crisis because of money and politics, he sought to step up and address that. Now you look at Richard Russell, you say, well, when American democracy was facing its great critical test of whether we would treat all humanity fairly, whether that African Americans have the same rights and the same privileges at white Americans. He didn't do it. He didn't step
well,
up.
Well, this is up to Mitch.
So I think this is a good choice to be made.
This is up to Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, this is in his hands. Donald Trump can't do anything about it. The Senate rules basically on that without any input from any other branch of government. And so this is up to Mitch McConnell. He can decide whether this happens or not. I thought it was rather interesting as I saw him giving his condolences to McCain, because I don't think that Mitch McConnell was someone that John McCain thought a great deal of.
Well, but I'll tell you one thing. Back in the 1980s, when Ronald Reagan vetoed sanctions on South Africa, those sanctions, his veto was overridden by a Republican-controlled Senate. And two of the senators, a member of the Senate, and I think at that time still a member of the House, John McCain, and the House also had to override, both voted the right way, i.e. against apartheid. And so, maybe somewhere deep in their history, maybe somewhere deep in their experience, McConnell might find a place of common ground and ideally respect for McCain that would lead him to do the right thing.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and The Nation. Thanks for coming to Sly's office.
Sly'sOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, 5 more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.